The sentence for today reads, "The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be up on their heads." It is from Isaiah 51 verse 11. So let us pray the collect together. We praise you, God, that the light of Christ shines in our darkness and is never overcome. Show us the way we must go to eternal day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A scripture reading from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 to 9. For thus says the Lord, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, Save, O Lord, your people, the remnants of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the furthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child, and those in labour together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I'll let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and thanks be to God. New Testament reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. The healing of the blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The Gospel of Mark contains quite a few accounts of Jesus healing people, but only once is the person healed actually named in the Gospel, and the person is Bartimaeus, the blind beggar who was healed by Jesus outside Jericho. I think the Gospels overall are a bit strange in that regard. Sometimes the Gospel name the people involved in the events around Jesus, and at other times they do not. Sometimes someone related to a miracle is named, for example, the synagogue elder Jairus, but his daughter who was healed by Jesus is not. Often only the place of healing is mentioned in the Gospel, but the name of a person is not given so often. Now, in the imaginative Middle Ages, that was a fault of the Gospel that was remedied, so some names were supplied for the people not mentioned by name in the Gospels. But it is quite probable that these names did not match those of the people involved in the events of first century Judea, the people around Jesus. Since then, the names in the Gospel have somehow escaped detailed analysis by scholars for many years. But more recently, they actually have been studied. So after studying the named characters in the Gospels for some time, the well-known English biblical scholar Richard Baucom considered the names in more detail in considering to what extent the Gospels are the account of eyewitnesses. For example, he compared the most popular names in Judea at that time, as recovered from inscriptions, with those found in the Gospels. The two most frequent male names in inscriptions also are the two top names in the Gospels. Might you guess which ones they are? Well, I'll give you the answer here. The top name in ancient Judea was Simon, and it's the same in the Gospels. Little wonder then that Jesus gave Simon, son of Jonah, the additional name Peter. That would have avoided quite a bit of confusion among all the Simons. In second place comes Joseph, again mentioned several times in the Gospels. Other frequent names in the Gospels also correspond to the most common names as found in inscriptions. The name Bartimaeus, or even Timaeus, those names aren't that common in the inscriptions or the Gospels, but we'll get to that in a minute. It's also important to note that the names used by Jews in other areas outside Judea, in Egypt for example, where many Jews lived at that time, those names were quite different. So, just looking at the names and how often they occur, they indicate that the Gospel stories really came from Judea, from that time and place when they were said to be happened. So that gives us some credibility to the sense that the Gospels convey real accounts of events. Then also, when you look at the names in the Gospels, why would you write a book in which some of the most important people are called, well, Mary, and the other Mary, or Miriam in the actual Hebrew? It gets quite confusing, and it's certainly not the way to write a legend. The most likely explanation is that all these women were actually called Mary or Miriam. And yes, you guessed it, we know from inscriptions that Mary or Miriam was quite definitely the most popular female name in Judea at that time. Now, it's a bit more difficult to study women's names as there are not that many inscriptions, but it's still clear that Miriam or Mary was one of the preferred names at that time. The names in the Gospels then strengthen the argument that these are writings that are based on actual memories of the events when Jesus walked this earth in Judea. But what about Bartimaeus? Throughout the Gospels, some people are mentioned by name, others are not. So, today scholars make the argument that people were named in the Gospels if they were known in the early church. So when we read about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, we know that it was this tax collector and not just any tax collector. It is because Zacchaeus was actually known in the early church. So as they heard the Gospels read, they would think, oh yes, that happened to Zacchaeus. We met him the other day in our meeting. And so the people in the early congregations actually could relate to the Gospels a lot more clearly. They knew the person who actually met Jesus. And so it might have also been with Bartimaeus. Ah yes, that's the former blind man. That was Bartimaeus, people might say to each other. You know, the man who always comes late to the Sunday meetings. Of course, we don't exactly know what has become of Bartimaeus. Maybe the former beggar even became a leader of the early church. In a sense, he would fit right in. After all, the leaders of the early church were not educated, successful people. Rather, they were fishermen, carpenters, and former tax collectors, and former beggars. There was Paul, of course, who was distinctly more educated than any of the other leaders of the early church. But it seems many of the leaders came from a simple background. But we also have to make clear that in the church it was and should not be the case that people jockey for position, but rather it is a meeting of those who follow Jesus. And in the Gospel of Mark, Bartimaeus is certainly portrayed as a follower of Jesus. He immediately left his place in Jericho and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus, then, is an example of a true disciple, a true follower. Once he experienced Jesus' transforming power, he did not hesitate to follow Jesus, and probably continued to follow him for the rest of his life. Even though he was a beggar there outside Jericho, Bartimaeus had some security, some certainty where he was. He left all that behind to follow Jesus when he regained his sight, or when he gained sight. Because following Jesus was all that counted for him from then on. Bartimaeus didn't sit down and wonder how he could build a new life now that he had been given his sight. He didn't work on realizing his potential. He did not seek out a life coach to get himself on track. He didn't even decide to receive an explanation of Jesus' teachings. No, Bartimaeus followed Jesus, the Messiah. He committed his life fully to Jesus. That's what trusting Jesus is all about. It is not about being a better human being, but about following the one who is God with us, and as such, the true human. We should also note that Bartimaeus did not follow Jesus alone. Rather, he followed Jesus on the way with the other disciples. It seems that he was known in the church for some time, continued to be part of the community. And so following Jesus also means being part of the followers of Jesus. We do not follow Jesus alone. We sense something of that also in our Old Testament reading today from the prophet Jeremiah, where God proclaims that people will be brought back to God from all directions. The blind and the lame, those who might find it difficult to come back, will not be hindered in this, for God will do it. God will make a way. That is fulfilled in Bartimaeus. Jesus came to him when he could not find the way to Jesus. And then Jesus called him into that new community of Jesus, that people of God, that people we might not expect to find there, will come together. When I thought about someone who might not really have fitted into the church at first, but then had a profound effect not only on the people following Jesus, but on people far near, I thought of the man who wrote the words of a famous hymn. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." John Newton was once a sailor, then a servant in Africa to a slave trading tribe, and then the captain of slave ships. Even though in his early years he had experienced Christian faith in his mother, he only slowly came to Christ after the experience of being saved in stormy seas. After a time, he realized that he wanted to become a Christian minister, but Anglican bishops and Methodist and Presbyterian church leaders all rejected his efforts. Despite that, he undertook theological studies, and finally a bishop accepted John Newton and ordained him. His ministry was very fruitful in a way that nobody had foreseen. He wrote many hymns that have been sung across the centuries and are still sung today, including one of the most well-known Christian hymns, "Amazing Grace." In his later life, far too late, as he said, he also became involved in the campaign against the slave trade, and through that, affected the entire world. There have been countless others who have followed Jesus across the centuries, even when those around them told them to be quiet, told them that it was not respectable to seek and follow Jesus with such determination. We know some of their names, but others were only well known to the people they immediately impacted. The names of some were only known to God. And will we continue to follow Jesus even when it is not respectable? Well, will we follow Jesus when our culture around us says that it's all right to be spiritual, but somewhat over the top to put Jesus above all? Will we put Jesus above respectable traditions of being church, and equally above new trendy ways of being church? Following Jesus is more important than conforming to society's expectations. It is more fulfilling and yet more risky. It is what Jesus is calling us to.